Hello, this is Gary Moore speaking.
Hello, Junior, this is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I'm digging for buried treasure.
Buried treasure?
Yeah, my dog buried a bone and there's still some meat on it.
Here's the Comedy Caravan, a rebroadcast for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations, starring Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, with songs by gorgeous Georgia Gibbs and Roy Bargy and his orchestra.
For those of you who have not been able to get as much gas as you want, draw closer to your radio, because here comes more gas than you can handle. Gary Moore!
Thank you very much, my friends. But we are glad to see all of you people tonight, and we do hope that you are happy to see us.
Mr. Moore, oh, I'm delighted to see you. Oh, I'm delighted all over myself.
Strangest things come in through the air conditioning. That's awfully nice of you. What can I do for you, madam?
Well, you see, I attend your program every week with a group of high-minded girls.
High-minded girls?
Yes. If someone says hi to us, we don't mind. Oh, but now it's time to go back to college. So I came in to say goodbye.
Oh, you're a college girl. Well, how about letting me hear your school yell?
Okay. Ow!
That is your school yell?
Yes, I go to dental college.
Oh, goes to dental college. You know something, Howard? That girl either had an awfully large Adam's apple or she's been playing ping pong with her mouth open.
Well, at least she's trying to improve herself by going to college. Say, what are your plans for the fall season?
Oh, Howard, I'm glad you asked. I'm branching out into business this fall. I've got a great idea for a new kind of soap.
A soap?
Yeah, you know, there are all kinds of soaps on the market nowadays. There's a soap for people who want to go around smelling like Helena Rubinstein. There's a soap for lonely people who like to have something to float with them in the bathtub. But Howard, do you realize there is no soap on the market for people who are just plain dirty? I think we need a soap like that. Can't you just hear the announcements on the radio now? Friends, are you crummy? When your boyfriend looks at your fingers, does he say, what lovely fingers? Or does he say, geez, babe, where do you wash cars at? Then, my friends, take our advice and get a hunk of Mother Moore's miracle soap that comes to you in one tantalizing fragrance, Fleur de Sueur. And with each bar of our soap, my friends, goes a 40-gallon tub of our secret cleansing formula called Retaw. And remember, Retaw spelled backwards is pronounced water. So with my fall plans to one side, let's say hello to the man who's got a million of them, the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song.
Sing it, boy.
Now, even when things go wrong.
Ooh, hot tonight.
You feel better. You even look better. What a note. Junior, remind me to renew that note every 30 days.
Oh, Jimmy, I must say your personality bubbles.
Yes, and to think just a short time ago, it only used to squirt. But that's neither Dick nor Tracy. The other evening, I was at home writing some footnotes to a chiropodist of my acquaintance. When the telephone tinkled.
Yeah, well, who was it this time?
The Treasury Department. They wanted me to leave immediately for Washington. So I threw on some clothes, and in 5 minutes, I was on a train speeding east. I got as far as Albuquerque when I noticed that I'd forgotten something. So I jumped off the train, went into the station, and said, "Give me a ticket right back to where I came from." And the man said, "Is this trip necessary?" And I said, "It certainly is. I left my pants in Los Angeles." When the meeting was over, I bumped into the one man who was going to be in charge of international airplane transportation after the war. And who do you think he is?
Umbriago.
How do you like that? He's taking the Umbriago right out of my mouth. Umbriago told me his plans, and they're fascinating.
Yeah.
He's going to fly a plane, and when it leaves for England, it'll stop in China, and then he'll land in England. Huh? Then he'll fly a plane to Brazil, it'll stop in China, and then he'll land in Brazil. Then he'll fly a plane to Mexico, it'll stop in China, and then he'll land in Mexico.
Oh, wait a minute, Jimmy, that Umbriago is nuts. To get to England, Brazil, or Mexico, he doesn't have to go to China.
That's what I told him. But that guy is crazy about chop suey.
Well, James, you certainly spend a great deal of time in governmental activities. Don't you ever give your brain time to cool off?
Indubitably. Just last Sunday, I invited my best girl for a motorcycle ride and picnic in the country. So bright and early, I puts on my white flannel trousers, which was left over from the Harvard regatta, my cap with the peak in the back, my goggles with the bifocal lens, and my linen duster with the liverwurst sandwiches in the pocket. So I backs my motorcycle out of its wigwam. You see, my motorcycle is an Indian. As we were driving along through the country, very rustic, I suddenly hears a suspicious-sounding pop. So I gets off, looks at the front wheel, and being an expert mechanic, I diagnose it as a flat tire. I was positively vulcanized. So I takes off my goggles, takes off my cap, takes off my gloves, slips out of my linen duster with the liverwurst sandwiches in the pocket, and I gets to work. I takes off the tire, gets down to the tube, and I discovers it's a slow leak. So what do? I puts on a slow patch. I'm trying to love science.
Yeah.
So I puts back the tube, puts back the tire, puts on my goggles, puts on my cap, buttons up my linen duster with the liverwurst sandwiches in the pocket. And we're off again. My girl and I are harmonizing the song of the open road, and my one cylinder is happily putting along. When suddenly the motorcycle comes to a stop. What's the trouble this time? The motor's missing. So I looks around and finally I finds it. But now my carburetor refuses to carburete. So once again, off comes the goggles, the cap, the gloves, and my linen duster with the liverwurst sandwiches still in the pocket. I'm under the motorcycle covered with grease when up comes a shiny Buick. A two-tone convertible. And out steps a handsome hombre. First he looks at my girl. Then he looks down at me and says, "Having trouble, bud?" And I says, "No. I always lie in the gutter on Sunday's afternoons." I'm flattening my back and he's making small talk. Finally, I gets my carburetor carburetin'. So once more, I puts on my cap, my gloves, my goggles, when I realize a catastrophe has befallen me. The shiny Buick is gone, the guy is gone, and my girl is gone. And believe me, Junior, I'll get that guy if it's the last thing I do.
Because he ran off with your girl?
No, because the bum stole my liverwurst sandwiches. Now you know that you can't go wrong if you start off and play for the song.
Roy Boggy and the orchestra now in a Roy Boggy arrangement of The Very Thought of You. Thank you.
What a tune, Junior. The dramatic intensity of Mr. Boggy's glissandos was exceeded only by the chromatic interpretation of his crescendos. I can talk fluently to him. He don't know nothing either. But enough of this, Balderall and Fiddly D. Let us call on Mr. Gary Moore for another of his well-known stories of little-known people.
All right, James, but I warn you that tonight's story is one of stark drama. The story of Fenwick Dringle and his wife, Desdemona.
Sounds exciting. I shall tie a piece of rope around my neck and hang on to every word.
Well, I thought you ought to know about Fenwick and Desdemona Dringle, for of all the people who have suffered from the housing shortage, these two have suffered most. Born in the thriving metropolis of Hot Soup, Missouri, which is just 2 miles from the little town of Arkansas, Fenwick and Desdemona decided to move to New York, the fashion center of the world, so called because they had the only mayor in the country who could pull up his bobby socks without bending over. But alas and alack, upon arrival, they could find no place to live. For 6 weary months, they trudged the streets looking for lodging and were about to give up and go home when suddenly, Mrs. Dringle spotted a house with a sign in front of it. Frantically, Dringle knocked on the door.
Yes?
That sign on the lawn. House for sale. Our search is over. You must let us buy it.
All right, you can buy it.
I can buy the house?
No, I just bought the house. You can buy the sign.
Discouraged and heartbroken, Fenwick and Desdemona boarded the Fifth Avenue bus and headed for the railroad station. And when they arrived there, Desdemona said,
"Oh, I sure do hate to get off this bus. It's the first time in 6 months I've had a place to rest my satchel."
You said it.
And at that moment, an idea struck Fenwick. Why get off the bus at all? Why not just settle down and make the Fifth Avenue bus their home? And they did. And my, but they were happy, riding up and down Fifth Avenue month after month, year after year. And in the summer, for a vacation, they'd get a transfer and spend 2 weeks on the top deck of a crosstown bus. Yes, my friends, they were happy. Of course, Fenwick didn't have much time for sightseeing. At every block, he'd have to write a postcard notifying his draft board of his change of address. But they were happy, and in due time, they were blessed with a little daughter whom they called Red, after the stoplight she was born during. My, but she was a cute little girl. She first learned to spell by reading the car cards on the bus. To most kiddies, A, B, and C stood for apple, book, and cat. But to Red, they meant Alka-Seltzer, Bisodol, and Castoria. Yeah, she was attractive. And at the age of 18, she fell in love with a hitchhiker who was hooking a ride on the rear bumper. And Fenwick and Desdemona shed happy tears when the minister said,
"I now pronounce you man and wife, and please move to the rear of the bus."
Yes, my friends, a strange wedding, it's true. But nevertheless, Fenwick wanted to do something nice for his daughter. So for a wedding present, he got up and gave her his seat. And so the Dringles, may their tribe increase, are to this day living on that Fifth Avenue bus. And lest you think them a trifle strange, let me read you the words of a famous poet 1,000 years ago. "Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife but couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and at least she had a roof over her head, so what the..." You see what I mean? Thank you very much, my friends, but let's alight from the bus now and stop over for a few melodic moments with her nibs, Miss Gibbs. Hiya, Georgia.
Hi, Gary. I hate to tell you, but you might just as well have stayed on the bus, because in coming to me, you're just switching from one vehicle to another. But tonight, I'm singing the trolley song. With my high-starched collar and my high-topped shoes and my hair piled high upon my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to 10, then I counted to 10 again. my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel a car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop went the wheels. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to go, then I started to know how it feels. When the universe reels. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop went the wheels. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the
of college life, entitled...
Johnny was the best-dressed art student at college, where every day he sits at his easel in his top hat, white tie, and draws. Now, Jimmy, in tonight's play, you and I are college students.
College students.
Yes, I'll never forget my first day at school. I went to kindergarten in Baltimore.
I went to kindergarten in Brooklyn.
I went to grammar school in Baltimore.
I went to grammar school in Brooklyn.
And I graduated.
Too much education is a dangerous thing.
Well, let's not waste any time. We're off to the college. Hurry, scurry.
You hurry, and I'll take the scurry with the fringe on top.
Hello, boys' dormitory. Student Moore, 44, speaking.
Mr. Moore, this is the head of the biology department. I want to find out how you spend your time after class.
Well, right now, Professor, I'm very busy making notes on flora and fauna.
What was that?
Flora's ticklish. A nosy guy. Gee whiz.
Drop everything, Junior. Drop everything. I just came from the science class, and what a stiff examination I took.
Oh?
The professor asked me a question, and it went like this. He said, if you were 40,000 feet up in an airplane going 400 miles an hour, and suddenly your oxygen tank broke, your wing ripped off, your motor dropped out, and you had no parachute, what would you do?
Well, Jimmy, what was your answer?
What answer? From the question alone, I fainted.
I don't know about that, Jimmy. The final exams are coming up this week, and we really need some help. Gee, I wish the school had an advisory board, someone we could ask questions of, like Lana Turner or Betty Grable.
Lana Turner and Betty Grable? What question could we ask them?
He's led such a sheltered life.
Well, I don't know. You know, Junior, this year's college is a serious thing with me.
Yes?
I get to the classroom every morning at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock in the morning? What do you take?
Oh, the usual thing, a pail and a mop. But, Junior, huh? I'm worried about the examination. What do you charge to tutor me?
To tutor you? Well, my rates are $5 for upperclassmen, $4 for lowerclassmen, $2 for high school, $1 for grade school, 50 cents for morons, and 25 cents for idiots.
Then what do you charge me?
Well, to avoid embarrassment, let's just say that this one's on the house.
My boy is toying with the inevitable.
I gotta find my honey. H-O-N-E-Y. I gotta find my honey. H-O-N-E-Y. Please! You gotta help me find my honey. H-O-N-E-Y.
Who are you?
Oh, just a spelling bee.
Thank you. Well, fellas.
Well, hiya, babe.
Hey, say, the dean sent me over to tell you that your grades are very bad. You know, she says you better pass the final exams this week or you won't graduate.
I say poo to the dean.
Make that poo-poo. There's two of us.
And, by the way, babe, what are you doing? Are you doing anything tonight?
Mm-hmm. I have a date with a sailor.
Oh, well, how about tomorrow night?
Uh-uh. I have a date with a soldier.
Yeah, what about the night after that?
I'm going out with a Marine.
What are your post-war plans?
Well, I have some studying to do. So long, guys.
So long, babe.
Well, Junior, I guess we better take our books and study.
Nah, who wants to study? Let's go get some girls. Come on, let's go over to the campus mall shop and have some fun with the girls.
Not me, Junior. While you've been going out with girls, I've been staying in my room and developing my mind.
Well, now that your mind is developed, so what?
So let's go and get some girls.
Get off.
Say, Junior, this mall shop was a good idea. Boy, it is dancing is fun.
Yeah, it sure is. But say, next dance, can I be the man?
Delighted. But let's sit this one out.
All right.
I want to hear a song in the jukebox. Look, number 14 is Georgia Gibbs singing Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby.
Oh, good.
Is you is or baby. Is you is or baby.
Jimmy, there's something wrong with the jukebox. How come the middle of every sentence is left out?
Instead of a nickel, I'd put in a lifesaver.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I thought I'd find you two here. Why aren't you home studying?
Junior, look who it is.
Yes, it's I, Dean Jones, LLD, MA, BS, and PhD.
LLD, MA, BS, PhD? That's a fine way to spell Jones.
Young man, those letters represent the college degrees I have. I went to Vassar.
Oh, come now. Vassar is a girls' school.
As for you, Brillo head. I'm putting the whole responsibility in your hands. If Mr. Durante doesn't pass his exams, neither of you will graduate.
That's a challenge. We'll graduate, Dean Jones, and we'll do it cum laude.
Yeah, and cum softly, too.
All right, Jimmy, for 3 days now, I've been tutoring you in chemistry. Here now, take this tube of sulfuric acid.
Yes.
This bottle of nitroglycerin.
Nitroglycerin.
And this stick of TNT.
TNT.
Now go into the laboratory, mix them all up, and I'm sure you'll pass the exam. Well, good luck.
Don't worry, Junior. I'll make fight beta or I'll eat my kappa.
Gee whiz, I sure hope he gets it all right, because if we don't graduate, I just... Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Hello?
Hello, Junior, this is Jimmy.
Jimmy, did you pass your exam?
No, but I just passed Kansas City.
So sweet that I repeat means I adore you. Amor, amor, my love. Would you deny this heart that I have placed before you? I can't find another word with meaning so clear. My lips try to whisper sweeter things in your ear, but somehow or other, nothing sounds quite so dear as this soft, caressing word I know. There is no day, and nights are lonely. Amor, amor, my love. Make life divine, say you'll be mine and love me, oh. I can find another word with meaning so clear. My lips try to whisper sweeter things in your ear, but somehow or other nothing sounds quite so dear as this soft caressing word I know. Make life divine, say you'll be mine, and love me, oh, me.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.